The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, what a day of football we had yesterday. We had multiple games going to overtime, and if they didn't go into overtime, there was a good shot that they were just coming down to the wire. And there was pretty much only, I think, like one ass kicking yesterday. It was basically Sunday night football. I'm looking through the scores here real quick. Yeah, it kind of feels like the majority of these games were pretty much very, very close and down to the wire. So let's get right into the craziness of week 12, beginning with the New England Patriots at the Cincinnati Bengals. This one actually ended up being a close one. I thought the Patriots were just going to run away with it. And actually the Bengals took them to the mat basically all the way to the fourth quarter. The Bengals actually had the lead at one point in this one, but the Patriots really put it together and they got the win 26-20. Drake May went 22 for 35, 294 yards and a touchdown. And just had yet another solid day. His receiver of choice was his tight end, Hunter Henry, for 115 yards and a touchdown. And just an overall solid day from the New England Patriots. Also on the defensive side of the ball as well. They were just able to make the big plays towards the end of the game, really when they needed to. And, they just made the big plays. Kind of makes you think, if Ja'Marr Chase had not been suspended, he might have made a difference in this game, and the Bengals might have actually been on the winning end of this one had he been able to play in this one. But since he got suspended, he was not in this one, and that may have actually cost them a win in this game. But the Patriots keep on rolling, and they are 10-2 on the season. Then we had the New York Giants at the Detroit Lions. This one went into overtime, and it was shockingly all Giants all day up until the fourth quarter, basically. This has been the theme of the Giants season. It doesn't matter who their coach is. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. It doesn't matter who their star receiver is. It doesn't matter what's going on with this team. The theme of their season is get a lead and fall apart in the fourth quarter and just completely blow it and they walk away with a loss. I was even thinking it. I was like, even though they have a different coach coming into this one and they've got a little bit of a spark, you know, Jameis Winston's coming into play, so who knows what's going to happen here, but it just gives them a little bit of a spark, and it did not give them a bit of a spark. You know, it looked like they were owning the Detroit Lions, but the Lions did what they do, kept in it the whole way, and then they took it to overtime and ended up getting the win. And they ended up going into overtime was crazy. They had this insane field goal to tie the game up, which was one of the most weirdest field goals. You thought it was not going anywhere. You thought it was going wide right, and then all of a sudden it just squeaked in there at the very, very bottom corner to just send it into overtime. But Jahmyr Gibbs had a huge, huge day for the Lions yesterday. 219 yards on the ground and two touchdowns, and had the big one in overtime. He was the one who scored the game-winning touchdown. The Lions started with the ball, and so it wasn't a walk-off, but the Giants stayed in it. I mean, they actually had a bunch of trick plays. Jameis Winston even caught a touchdown for he's a quarterback, if you don't know. He caught a touchdown, and not only did he catch the pass, but he actually made some nice moves and was able to get the touchdown in there. So the Giants actually came to play, but then they lost in the end, as they always do. And the Lions got the win 34-27. But got to say, these Lions not looking like the Lions of old. They're having some issues in some of these games, but still, they were able to keep it moving and just chip away at that lead and just stay in it. I mean, their defense actually made some really big plays in overtime and in the fourth quarter to keep them in it. So that's the benefit of having a solid defense who's able to keep you in it. If you've got a really good offense and you've got even just a decent defense to keep you in it, you could keep it in it. You could stay in it, and the Lions did exactly that, and that's how they got the win. Then we had the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. Now, this was one of the few games that was not close. It was actually pretty much all Packers all day. They got the win 23-6, And I mean, it was really this defense, this Packers defense just took it to the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy had another terrible ass game. His offensive line, though, is not blocking anything at all. So that's a problem. But I mean, it's just, I notice J.J. McCarthy's in here and he's pretty much the only quarterback who has not succeeded under Kevin O'Connell just yet. So that kind of leads me to believe he's really not that good. But we still, you know, it's his first season, so who knows there. But it was not a good game at all from him yesterday, and the Packers just really took it to him, and just it was all Packers all day. Then the Seattle Seahawks were at the Tennessee Titans. This one was all Seahawks for the most part, but it did get close there in the end. The Titans actually scored 14 points in the third quarter, which was very shocking. But the Seahawks did get the win 30-24. Darnold bounced back, had a solid game. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he actually became the all-time leader in receiving yards in a season. He just passed DK Metcalf yesterday, and we still we're like not even there's still like six games left on the season, so he's already passed that, and so he's going to elevate that even more. He had 167 yards yesterday and 2 touchdowns, so big day for him. But just another solid game from the Seattle Seahawks. Still don't know if I really believe in them once the playoffs hit, but they're definitely a team that's stacking those wins, and it looks like they're definitely poised to at least get one of those wild card spots. If not, I mean, the division's still up for grabs, but the way the Rams are playing, I don't know about that. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs. This was another one that went into overtime, and, you know, this was a prove-it game for the Colts. You know, the Chiefs, they're that team where, to me, you can't count them out until they're out. And even though I picked the Colts in this one, it was more for me that the Colts needed to prove it. Because even if the Chiefs had lost this, they'd still, like I said, they're still in it until they're not in it anymore. But the Chiefs did exactly what they normally do in these close games, where it was all Colts, all first half. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarters, when the Chiefs turned it on, and they just made the big plays. They hadn't scored a touchdown at all. They were just kicking field goals in the first half, and they just weren't able to get anything going offensively. Patrick Mahomes wasn't really having that great of a day. The receivers weren't really making any of the big plays at all, and every time they'd get into the red zone, they would have to settle for field goals. So it was looking like it was all Colts. But the thing is the Chiefs were actually dominating the time of possession. I mean, the first half, even though they only walked away with 9 points, and the Colts had the lead headed into halftime, the Chiefs had the time of possession, and it felt like they had the ball the entire time. It felt like we hadn't even seen the Colts out there. And then the Chiefs' defense was what really was the difference in this one, is because they contained Jonathan Taylor. And like I keep saying, the Colts go as Jonathan Taylor goes. If Jonathan Taylor has a terrible game, like he did yesterday, Colts lose. If he has a great game, then they probably would have won, or at least had a much better chance. But the Chiefs just kept chipping away, kept making the big plays when they had to, then sent it into overtime, and then they were able to stop the Colts. And even Tony Romo was saying it. There was a 4th-and-4 play. It was they were at like their own 40, 45, in that kind of area. And Tony's like, it's overtime. You got to go for it, even though it's 4 yards. Nothing was really sparking for the Colts offense, but it just kind of felt like you had to go for it in that moment because it's overtime, plus you're playing the Chiefs. And it's like, and they didn't go for it, and he kept saying it the whole time, and then the Chiefs were the ones who ended up walking away with the win, 23-20 in overtime. But he was right about that 4th-and-4 play, and I mean, that's just the thing about the Colts losing this one, is it doesn't really ruin things for them, because I feel like they have their division on lock, although they do have a very difficult schedule ahead of them, but that doesn't really matter. I still think they're a good team. But even so, this was a prove-it game for them, and they did not prove it at all. When they could have, and they had the lead all the way up until the end. But Patrick Mahomes, he had a fantastic game, 29 for 46, 352 yards, and he really put this game on his back, as he has all season long. And then Kareem Hunt, they finally showed out at the running back position. He had 104 yards and a touchdown in this one. And then Rashee Rice also had 141 yards as well. So, and they just made the big plays when they had to. And that's the thing. Like I said, the Chiefs can do that, but the Colts, they needed to win this one, and they did not. Then we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Chicago Bears. This was another close one, but the Bears dominated it from start to finish. They got the win 31-28. T.J. Watt had a huge game. He actually ended up passing his brother J.J. for all-time sacks. On the all-time sack list, on a great sack as well. He ended up sacking Caleb Williams in the end zone, and Williams, and he also forced a fumble on Williams. And so the Steelers were able to take the lead at that point in time. And this was only in the second quarter, though. But the Bears just did what they were supposed to do. And actually, the difference in the Bears in this game is that they didn't have to make some crazy comeback win in the fourth quarter. It was basically, they just kept plugging away, had a game plan. Caleb Williams had a very, very good game. As a matter of fact, went 19 for 35, 239 yards, and three touchdowns. But the thing about this team is that they just didn't panic. And then the second half was going on, and they just were able to maintain it. I mean, the Steelers' offense actually wasn't playing terrible without Aaron Rodgers, so they were actually scoring and making moves. But the Bears' offense was making plays, and then, of course, their defense made some huge plays, especially at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, causing some fumbles and some turnovers, some key turnovers at the end of the game there. And, I mean, this Chicago Bears team just keeps on winning and dominating their division at 8-3. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at my Dallas Cowboys. Another close game. Great game, as a matter of fact. I've been waiting for Dak Prescott to have his moment. You know, I kind of feel like it's been, he just really hasn't had that key game, that major comeback win, that significant game. I mean, obviously, he hasn't had it in the postseason just yet. But even in the regular season, you know, he's putting up numbers. And I'm not hating on Dak at all. I love Dak. But he's just has not had that signature game just yet. Yesterday, he changed all of that. And I was hoping he would, too. Because, you know, they're down 21-0 at one point. And this is just looking like I'm even like, God damn. It's the first half. I'm like, they've got time. But the way this game is going, you know, they're throwing interceptions. They're fumbling. They're just not doing anything right. The Eagles are just scoring. Devontae Smith, who always tears us up, he's having a fantastic game. And their defense is just stopping us, and it's just looking like a terrible... Even Aubrey missed a kick. So the whole first half was just a comedy of errors for the Cowboys, and it looked like it was just going to be one of those games where they lost 45-0, and it was just going to be like rape. But instead, they actually got it going towards the end of the second quarter. They were able to score a touchdown, so they were able to get some points on the board, which was super nice. Even though it looked bleak, it's 21-7, and then all of a sudden they score, and it's 21-14, and I'm like, oh my God, are they actually going to do this? Are they actually going to make a comeback? Because at that point, it was the third quarter. There was still plenty of time left. I'm like, well, they could do this. And the defense, credit to this Cowboys defense. They have actually, really, Quinnen Williams has made a huge impact in only two games as a Dallas Cowboy. But, I mean, they really, really locked it down in a very, very, very good offense. I mean, Saquon Barkley only had 22 yards yesterday and a fumble. This is a dude who had 2,000 yards last year and absolutely obliterated not only us, but everybody last year. Jalen Hurts couldn't do anything in the second half, and they even hunkered it down with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And then the Cowboys offense just was able to put it together and finally make some moves against this really stout Eagles defense. And then when they tied it up, I just was just staring at my TV screen like, this cannot be happening. And then all of a sudden, they get a fumble. The Cowboys pick up this fumble. I think it was the Saquon Barkley fumble. And they don't do anything with it. Actually, I think that's when they scored the 21 points, as a matter of fact. But anyways, it's 21, and then they're able to get this big, big play on a punt return where they get the fumble. Pissed me off that they actually did not take the points because they were right there. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb did not have his greatest game. He dropped a... He actually had quite a few drops, but the big one was in the end zone on this very key red zone stand here for the Cowboys. But not only did they not get the 7 points, but, you know, I was thinking, oh, cool, we're in field goal range. And they didn't. They went for it on fourth down, and it was a terrible. It was just terrible. And so then the Eagles start driving, and shockingly, the Cowboys defense is able to actually stop them, and they get the ball back. And they drive down and get the win and knock in the field goal, 24-21, and walk it off. And I'm just, like, standing there in shock, like, I can't believe this happened. Because the beginning of the game, I'm thinking, oh, this is not happening. It's 21-0. This is going to be the worst game of my life. And then all of a sudden, they get the win. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it's just their defense, playing great defense. The offense just chipped away and overcame all of the follies at the beginning of the game and really got a huge win. Dak Prescott not only had his signature game, but he is now the all-time leading passer for the Dallas Cowboys. And imagine how much he's going to widen the gap on that, because dude's got at least a few more years in him. He went 23 for 36 yesterday, 354 yards and 2 touchdowns, plus a rushing touchdown. George Pickens, though, 146 yards and a touchdown. Even though CD had to drop, he and Pickens had these two huge, huge, huge catches where Dak just basically tossed it up and they both made big plays. But Pickens has been making big plays. Ferguson's been making big plays. Really love what I'm seeing from this offense. But like I said, the defense really played great. They stood their ground when they had to. And, oh, my God, I don't know. I mean, Cowboys are 5-5-1. They've got a shot at potentially getting the wild card spot here. But that was a really fun game to see. And a signature moment from Dak Prescott, finally. And hopefully this just keeps it moving for the Cowboys. Because, you know, a lot of people always they overwrite a lot of teams like this, where they have a terrible first start to their season. And then there are teams, believe it or not, who have actually won the Super Bowl and been 500. There's a team, the New York Giants. They did it years ago against a team in the New England Patriots who was supposed to go undefeated. You know, at this point in the season, the New York Giants were actually about 500, playing terrible football. And then they just put it together the second half of the season and put it together in the playoffs and actually won. So I'm not saying the Cowboys are going to do that, but it's nice to see them get a win like that, because it kind of propels you into thinking that things like that can happen. But just a huge win. Also, one of the biggest comebacks that the Cowboys have ever had in the history of their franchise. And gotta love it, because it was against the Philadelphia Eagles. Then we had the Cleveland Browns at the Las Vegas Raiders, and this was one of the few games that was not close. The Browns got the win, 24-10, and thankfully they did, because Myles Garrett continues to be an insane motherfucking beast. He had 3 more sacks. Yes, 3 more sacks. I feel like on average, dude has 3 sacks a game. He is now at 18 sacks on the season. Mind you, the record is 22 and a half sacks, and Garrett's at 18. So Garrett could potentially break the record in a couple games here. And if he doesn't do it, like on this 3 sack average, I'm betting you he's going to pass 22 and a half. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to give Garrett a cool 25 sacks when the season's over. And good for him to not only have an amazing game and be a huge impact in yesterday's game, but thankfully they finally got a win. Shedeur Sanders, he got the start yesterday and had a pretty solid game. Nothing perfect, but he came out, made some big plays, but so did the rest of the offense. And it was a really overall good game. But, I mean, Myles Garrett, I don't know what to say about this dude. Sometimes you expect them to lose a step. And especially defensive players, they don't usually be this consistent. Myles Garrett, I'm not kidding when I say he like averages 3 sacks a game. And it's not even just this season. It's like last year and it's like the year before. I mean, what does he got? Like 3-4 Defensive Players of the Year awards? Like, and he's had 18 sacks already. I mean, he should easily smash that record. That's why I said cool 25. I'm going 25 is what he's going to be at. But, I mean, if he's averaging what he's averaging at, he's going to surpass that here in a couple of weeks. And I hope he does, because it'd be great to see that. But Myles Garrett in beast mode and finally got a win with the Cleveland Browns over the horrific Las Vegas Raiders, whose offense is so bad that they fired their offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly, right after the game. Then another close game that went into overtime was between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Arizona Cardinals. And this was actually probably the best game of the day, where it felt like every time the whatever offense came out and played, they were scoring. It was back and forth. And I mean, it was down to the wire. That's why it went into overtime. And even in overtime, The Cardinals had a shot. It was really just a wing and a prayer pass, but they basically had a shot all the way till the bitter end of overtime. But the Jaguars ended up walking away with the win 27-24. But Jacoby Brissett had another great game for the Cardinals, 33 for 49, 317 yards and a touchdown. And this is a dude who doesn't really have a number one guy. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't play for his second game in a row yesterday. So I don't know, man. Brissett looks like he is that dude in Arizona as a starting quarterback. But even so, the Jaguars got the win and the Cardinals got the loss, and another crazy game that went into overtime. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the New Orleans Saints. Falcons got the win in this one, 24-10. Shockingly, this one wasn't close. It was just all Falcons all day. But, yeah, I mean, there really wasn't much to say about this one just because it's Falcons, Saints. Who gives a shit about either team? They're not doing anything this year. And, yeah, there we go. The Falcons won, 24-10. And then the Sunday Night Football matchup, which should have been a good game, but ended up being basically the biggest ass-kicking of the weekend, was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Los Angeles Rams. Even before Baker Mayfield was injured in the second quarter of the game, the Rams were running away with this one. It felt like the Rams scored on every single possession in this game. They got the win 34-7 against a really good Buccaneers team, by the way. That score does not describe what the Buccaneers are on offense or defense at all, but that was a terrible game from them. Someone who did not have a terrible game was Matthew Stafford. He had an amazing game. Went 25 for 35, 273 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And he better be the front runner for MVP at this point in the year. I mean, we've still got 6-7 games left to go. But he's been showing out. I mean, still only 2 interceptions on the year and really just playing flawless football right now. And, I mean, just delivering the ball with precision and just really orchestrating this offense like in his sleep, basically. And this was just a huge win for the Rams, especially because they're the Eagles lost, so now they are the number one overall seed. And if the Eagles lose again, I mean, the Eagles got the Bears coming into town, and that's not going to be an easy win for them there. So let's say the Eagles lose this week and the Rams win this week. Well, the Rams are widening that gap, not only in their division, but in the NFC as well. Moving on to Monday Night Football's matchup tonight. Between the Carolina Panthers at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Niners are a 6.5-point favorite, but I think that's a little bit too high just because I think the Panthers, while I still think they have some room to grow, and they're definitely, I wouldn't say I believe in them yet to take over the division, even though if they get the win tonight, they will overtake the division. But I still think they're not a really scary team yet, but they're definitely going to be in it. As a matter of fact, I think this is going to be more of a close game than people are anticipating, because the Panthers have been keeping it close in just about every game they've played this year. And I just kind of feel like their defense is going to take it to the Niners. But the Niners defense, I think, is also going to play well. But I think the Niners offense is slightly better. They also have Christian McCaffrey, who I think is probably going to make the bigger plays over than what the Panthers have going on. Even though the Panthers' offense has been very... They've had their moments over the last few games, especially in the last game. But I just kind of feel like the Niners are the better team and the Panthers aren't there yet. But I do think the Panthers are going to make this a close one. And I've got the Niners winning a close one, 21-19. Moving on to the top 10 NBA power rankings this week. Not a lot of changes at the top. And actually not a lot of... not really talking about any new teams except for one who's super surprising. But let's get into number one, who remains number one because they got to remain number one, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder because they're 17-1 on the season. Yeah, 17-1 on the season. That is their best start in franchise history. This week, they're currently on a 9-game winning streak, by the way. This past week, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans, the Sacramento Kings, the Utah Jazz, and the Portland Trail Blazers. And the only thing to say about this team is they just look really damn good. I mean, that's why they're 17-1. That's why they're number one on my power rankings. And I mean, honestly, what can you say about them? They're fucking good. That's it. That's all I've got on the Oklahoma City Thunder is they are fucking good. And that's that. Number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 14-2. And they are on a 12-game winning streak, y'all. They just keep on winning. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Milwaukee Bucks. And this team is just great on all levels. They are playing great offensively. They're playing great defensively. They're dominating the paint. I mean, this is one of the most... Them and the Houston Rockets are the two top rebounding teams in the league. They just dominate the paint on all levels. But Detroit plays suffocating defense, and they are just really showing out right now. And I feel like the Eastern Conference is up for grabs with anybody. And the Pistons are just right out the gate taking over the Eastern Conference and said, we are here, and we are not a joke. So take us serious, folks. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 12-4. They beat the Utah Jazz twice this week. And I mean, their starting five looks real solid right now. You got Luka, who's balling out. LeBron is back just came back this week and has played solid in his last couple of games back. Austin Reeves, he's come back from his injury as well. He's playing well. Ayton has been the hugest surprise. I mean, he's actually dominating the paint, which is very shocking. And then you've got Marcus Smart playing really well on defense. And you got Laravia. He's come in out of nowhere, really off of the bench, and just played some really good solid minutes. Rui Hachimura, he's having a solid year. It's just, this is a really overall solid Lakers team. And like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what LeBron brings to the table with this team, because we know he's not going to be the GOAT LeBron. He's, to me, going to be the facilitating LeBron. He's basically, to me, going to be playing like a Magic Johnson type role, where he's going to be more about the assists, playing some defense, and scoring when he has to. But I kind of feel like we all know this is Luka's team, and he's got no problem with that role right now. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 12-4. This past week, they lost to the Chicago Bulls, beat the New Orleans Pelicans, beat the Houston Astros. Oh my God, I'm getting my sports mixed up. Houston Rockets. And then they lost to the Sacramento Kings. And unfortunately, they lost Aaron Gordon to an injury this week. He is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. So that was the problem last year for the Nuggets. I mean, they've been right out the gate playing excellent basketball, especially Nikola Jokic as well, the triple-double king. He's having no issues. Jamal Murray is having a monster year himself. Gordon was having a fantastic year himself. So this injury comes at the wrong time. You know, you got Brown down as well, and his injuries, he's going to be out for about a month as well. So those two injuries could be very costly for the Nuggets. But other than the injuries, Nuggets look pretty damn good. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Houston Rockets. Overall record of 10-4. This past week, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers and lost to the Denver Nuggets. And KD, Şengün, and Amen Thompson are really just taking over this team. Like I mentioned when I was talking about the Pistons, the Rockets actually lead the league in rebounds right now. They are the top rebounding team. And like I said, Kevin Durant was what they were missing. They just needed that veteran piece who doesn't need to come in and score 50 points, but he's completely capable of scoring 50 points. KD's more, to me, playing that role that LeBron's going to be playing with the Lakers. He's going to be a guy who could take over the game, but he doesn't have to take over the game. It's Şengün's team, in my opinion. He's been the one getting the double-doubles, the triple-doubles, really getting the rebounds, the assists. He's really been taking over, and KD's been doing what the veteran KD's supposed to do. Just stepping in and knocking down the important shots when he has to. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 12-6. This past week, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, lost to the Houston Rockets, beat the Indiana Pacers, and beat the Los Angeles Clippers. And Donovan Mitchell having another fantastic season. But Evan Mobley, he's been the other dude who's really been making a difference on the boards. And with the rebounds and the assist, he's really just making the big difference there on that side of the ball. And then, of course, you've got Garland coming back from injury. He's been slowly working his way back into the starting lineup. So once he gets going, that's when the Cavaliers are really going to start going. I mean, they're still 12-6. It's not like they're bad. But, I mean, I kind of feel like when you look at them compared to the Detroit Pistons right now, Pistons are on a whole other level than the Cavaliers at this point in the season, the very early season. Then at number seven of our top 10 NBA power rankings, the team that is falling, but not really shocking, and that is the San Antonio Spurs, 11-5 on the season. This past week, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies and the Atlanta Hawks, but lost to the Phoenix Suns. But it's really no shock just because, you know, Victor Wembanyama, he's out with the injury right now, and I kind of feel like that's going to take a toll on them. Castle is still out. They were saying last week that he was potentially going to be coming back, but it looks like he's had a setback in his injury. So he's actually going to be out another couple of weeks. So kind of feel like the injuries are going to take that the wind out of the sails for the Spurs for now. But once they get Wemby back, I think they're going to be just fine. But they are playing pretty solid without him. I mean, they still went 2-1 this past week without him. So that's not bad at all. But I just kind of feel like no Wemby is going to be some problems in these close matchups. Then number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Miami Heat, overall record of 11-6, and to me this is one of the biggest surprises in the league, just because Tyler Hero hasn't played at all. As a matter of fact, he comes back this week. He's expected to play his first game, I believe, tonight or tomorrow, whenever the next Miami Heat game is. He's supposed to be back. But this past week, they beat the New York Knicks, the Golden State Warriors, the Chicago Bulls, and the Philadelphia 76ers. But this team's been playing excellent basketball from start to finish. And it's really just they're playing great team basketball. And like I said, Tyler Hero hasn't even stepped on the court yet. And he's been their dude. I mean, especially before he got injured, he was on fire. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this Miami Heat team, because they're in a very quiet division where I feel like they could easily just storm through this division. And you get Tyler Hero back, and if he's playing like the usual Hero that he does, well, then Miami is going to sail. And, you know, like I just said, this past week, those four teams that they beat are all legitimate teams, especially right now. You got the Knicks, who were in the playoffs last year, Golden State Warriors, who are on a heater right now. You got the Bulls, who have been playing well. And then you got the Philadelphia 76ers, who have been playing well. And so it's like you're playing well against good teams, and you don't even have your star. But probably the most surprising team right now is my number 9 team on my top 10 NBA power rankings. It's the Toronto Raptors. Overall record of 12-5. They are currently on a 7-game winning streak. This past week, they beat the Charlotte Hornets, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Washington Wizards, and the Brooklyn Nets. And it's really just, I looked at this roster and I was like, what's going to happen with this roster? I mean, you got Brandon Ingram, who's been having a phenomenal year. And I'm a big Brandon Ingram fan. He used to be a Laker years ago. And I've just always kept up on where he's gone. And he's just usually a very solid player, but he just gets injured at times. But he's been on a tear this year. RJ Barrett's having a great year. And then Scottie Barnes is also having a great year. But I remember when I was looking at my preseason, rankings and stuff, and looking over at the Toronto Raptors, I was like, this team's going to be lucky if they get 12 wins. And here they are at 12 wins already on the season. I don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, this could just be one of those fluky things, but they are playing really solid basketball right now, really surprising basketball. And it's really just due to all those three guys that I mentioned. And like I said, Brandon Ingram playing really solid basketball on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And if he's just able to stay healthy, this Toronto Raptors team really could make some waves, simply because the Eastern Conference is wide open. And then rounding out this week's top 10 NBA power rankings at the Minnesota Timberwolves, overall record of 10-6. This past week, they took down the Dallas Mavericks, the Washington Wizards, and then lost to the Philadelphia 76ers. But this team's basically the same as what it was. You got Julius Randle playing really solid basketball on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Then you've got Anthony Edwards just having another phenomenal year, just taking over games when he has to. And then Rudy Gobert doing his thing in the paint. But it's just, he's just, you know, he's playing well right now statistically, but he's just very soft to me. And it just kind of feels like once the season wears on, he's just going to disappear as he usually does. But right now, you know, Minnesota's playing pretty solid, and, you know, they're keeping up with Oklahoma City and Denver, and those are their division rivals, and they've got to keep pace with those two, especially Oklahoma City, who's just trouncing everybody at this point. But Minnesota playing very, very solid basketball, basically look like they've looked last year. It's just we'll see how things progress as the season wears on. But Anthony Edwards, he looks like he's having a dominating year, and then Randall's just right back in. Playing great defense and offense. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.